Well, of course, 1978 was pre-internet days. We did not have the internet, but we did have a lot of ways of getting information that was not available in other places in Iran. For example, we had open shelves, and people could just go and browse and pick out their own information. We had very up-to-date journals, many, many U.S. journals, which were of great interest to people. The other aspect was we had copying machines. We had, and of course, that became a tool for the revolution, because later we learned that a lot of speeches were copied and distributed from our own copying machines.
The revolutionaries were using the library's copy machines?
Yes, later we learned that was the case.
So that really does show how free people did feel, too.
People felt extraordinarily free, and very often these libraries and cultural centers, especially in the Middle East and even in Iran, were places where young men and women could meet on equal terms. It was the only place where there was an openness and freedom with which to communicate. They could sit at the same table, read together, study together, and it was a welcome change for them.
And do you think that changed their idea of America?
I'm not sure. You know, we don't have barometers or any kind of sure way of testing people on what happens to a human being when he reads a novel, how much change occurs in his brain waves. But I believe that being in an atmosphere that is welcoming, receptive, full of information, and also cultural programs that are of interest to them, does give you a more positive view of a place far away. And of course, people like myself and so many other of my colleagues who love their jobs and love their calling also give people a taste of what the United States might be like.
We live in an information age. There's the internet, there's cable TV, people have access to. Is there still a role then for libraries?
Well, certainly. You have read what has happened recently in Indonesia, that information from abroad is not available any longer on Indonesian TV and news sources. So the U.S. Embassy has a role to play in providing correct and up-to-date information. Now, how we do it today is a slightly different way than what we did when we had open libraries everywhere. Now it's a much more targeted approach with an emphasis on decision makers and the elite and reaching them. I guess that we had realized that we cannot be all things to all people, and we have to make sure that our budget and efforts are well targeted and well directed. So there are ways to get information into the hands of people in spite of what other governments might want them to have.
Culture overseas, certainly American culture, is suffused worldwide. What's the difference between folks being able to have access to all the different TV channels, movies, whatever American output they care to look at, and what you were providing through the library?
Well, you know, one of the things, Greg, that I feel very strongly about is that the kind of culture we provided was certainly a bit more than just the average daily culture of wearing jeans and so on. What we had in libraries and cultural centers was the best that America could offer. For example, in Germany, we brought over the Chicago Symphony, and music has been extraordinarily successful. I can give you one example. In my stay in Tunis, I traveled with six Zydeco musicians to three cities in Tunisia. And I'm a rather short, redheaded woman, and these were rather tall black guys from Louisiana. And I think when we traveled throughout Tunisia, all eyes were on our disparities in height and in looks, but also on the quality of music that they provided, which they had not heard before. with washboards and common instruments that were just fascinating to people.
If you were to become a regional librarian in Iraq or in Syria or, for that matter, any country where anti-Americanism is on the rise and we have a major image problem, what sort of workshops or library activities might you want to offer?
Well, one of the things that I think is would be helpful to foster is a recognition that America has a great deal of understanding and appreciation for each culture. For example, if it's in Syria, show American scholars who have written about Syria. Bring them over and discuss history, archaeology, literature, an appreciation of the depth of that culture.
So rather than sort of trying to sell America as America, you would, it's sort of like the Dale Carnegie book. If you want to win friends and influence people, you have to show that you're interested in them.
Don't give me too much credit. Dale Carnegie got to be very famous and rich. What I'm telling you is from the point of view of a lowly Foreign Service officer who made it to the senior ranks, but, you know, just a Foreign Service officer. My experience is that people always like when other people take an interest in them. I was born in Hungary. When people learn three words of Hungarian, I still get excited. When people come back and they liked Budapest, I'm still excited. I'm trying to use the green team, red team approach. What do people feel in my shoes in other countries? Now, I would imagine that there's no way that we can be guaranteed that everybody who gets to know us will love us. We have examples of that. We had many Iranians who lived here 16 years, like Ghorzadeh, who went back and led the revolution against us. There is no guarantee, but just because a few people have very bad experiences with America, it doesn't mean that we should shut down this incredibly effective programs that we have been running. I think that you need people who are almost missionary in their zeal to reach out to other cultures. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in selecting Foreign Service officers only who really care about other cultures. And I have to tell you, in my experience, some of the best ones were former Peace Corps volunteers because they understood what it means to live in a culture that's different from yours and not be arrogant and interact with it on equal terms.
Well, Aggie Cooperman, I really enjoyed this interview. Thanks so much.